It's Sleep Awareness Month, and there are some, of course, we're concerned about Florida and how well Floridians are sleeping, and I guess some Floridians are having a tough time sleeping. I think Tampa's ranked 11th in this survey, and Miami comes in 16th.
Well, I've actually got it. Tampa is 16, Miami 17, Jacksonville's 20, Orlando's 27, and Fort Lauderdale's 50 in this compilation.
And what are the problems with sleeping in Florida? Is it all the noise that hurricanes make, or hot weather? Are there issues in Florida to keep folks from sleeping?
Well, in most of the southern states, it's heat. The hotter your room, the hotter your bedroom, the more disrupted sleep you have. The ideal temperature to sleep actually is about 68 degrees. And when you get warmer than that, you get transitions into and out of sleep, so you end up with what we call fragmented sleep or disrupted sleep. But the time listing looked at a lot of different variables. They looked at the average amount of sleep that the individuals who answered the questionnaire got. And if you got less than 7 hours of sleep, that was a mark against the city. They looked at things like stress factors, like the incidence of divorce. They looked at noise pollution. And they put all of this down to get what they call a sleepless score. And it's kind of interesting because it kind of takes in a lot of different variables, and it makes sense. The quieter, the more tranquil areas don't necessarily have better sleep because the people who are sleeping may be driven to work 24/7. We live in a society where the amount of daylight and artificial light has decreased the amount of nocturnal sleep that we have by close to 2 hours over the past 125 years. And you can date that to the onset of the electric light bulb, but more recently, you probably can date it to the onset of the iPhone, the computer, the iPad, the 24/7 news cycle. Everybody's checking their phones till the moment they go to sleep. And all the light that comes from these social media tools interferes with our ability to fall asleep, because what light does when it hits the eye, it tamps down the natural sleep-producing hormones that the brain is manufacturing, and it temporarily turns down the sleep onset process. So anyone who is exposing themselves to artificial light as they get closer to bed or even in the middle of the night, they are creating a situation where their sleep is going to become disrupted. And once that happens, then the dominoes start to fall. You get all kinds of problems during the day. You get cognitive defects. Your concentration is not what it should be. You are sleepy. You fall asleep in meetings. You fall asleep while looking at your computer. You fall asleep while talking on the phone. It's a snowball effect. And some very recent science research has been fascinating in that they show that people who have suffered from disrupted sleep from early childhood have a higher incidence of dementing illness when they get into their 60s, 70s, and 80s. So if we can, as a medical community and as a social and public health issue, tell people that their constant attachment to their social media systems is causing them harm in later life, we may be able to cut down on the numbers of people who are going to be developing problems with thinking, cognition, and even Alzheimer's disease as they get older. So sleep is a lot more than just the 7 or 8 hours of the day that you are, quote, not communicating with anybody.
Yeah.
It's a very important time of the day.
So, Dr. Sorek, what is the key then to getting a good night's sleep in a nutshell?
Well, it's so much not what you do. It's recognizing when things are wrong and then going to your doctor to try and get them fixed. For instance, if you find you're waking up frequently to urinate, that's not normal, and you should see somebody for it. We call that nocturia, and there are lots of reasons for it. Men can get it from an enlarged prostate. Women can get it from drinking too much or consuming too much liquids right before bed. Women can get it actually around the time of their period when they become more fluid retention. So it's not so much, you know, I'm not sleeping 7 hours. What can I do to make it 7 hours? You got to ask the question, why aren't you sleeping 7 hours? And people, men who snore, who have sleep apnea, that's one avenue that can be corrected. People who have pain, fibromyalgia, rheumatic arthritis, all of these things that will disrupt the night's sleep because of a pain syndrome, need to find a way to get that under better control. People who have asthma. Asthma gets worse at night because the nerve signals to the bronchial system actually increase the output and you get constriction of the breathing tubes at night. So there are lots of medical conditions that are very disparate. But if you've got them and you have bad sleep, you've got to kind of figure out what it is, or if you really don't know, go speak to your doctor. Tell them, I've got X, Y, and Z symptoms, which I think are resulting in bad sleep, and can we do something to get to the bottom of it, rather than just having the doctor give you a sleeping pill? Because more often than not, that sleeping pill isn't going to do you far more harm than good.
Yeah, it's just like we did a story on allergies, and the doctor I talked to said the treatments are so good nowadays that there's no reason anyone has to suffer from allergies. And I guess it's the same way to, you know, as far as getting a good night's sleep, you know, that you don't have to, you know, suffer. And the consequences of not getting a good night's sleep, you need to do something about it.
Absolutely. And let's say you have insomnia, and the insomnia is due to stress of life. I mean, we are living in a world where the stress factors are escalating. Well, you know, 20 years ago, people gave you pills. I don't have to tell you about the Rolling Stones' Mother's Little Helpers, a red one, a green one, and a yellow one. Well, the idea of just popping a pill to treat stress is no longer what we want to do in the medical profession. We want to find out what is going on. And in fact, for people who have insomnia due to stress, we now find that there are behavioral techniques that we can teach patients. They're called CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy / insomnia, that work better than sleeping pills. They're safer than sleeping pills. You can literally go on the internet and Google 3 or 4 different programs for CBTI. And my patients have had a terrific response. 75% to 80% have been able to get off of all sleeping pills. Now, there's no miracle cure. This is not a magic bullet. But if you are committed to getting better, these are very good techniques that are being taught to let you relax, put your mind in a good place, understand why you feel the way you do when you get into bed. And it shows you how to work it out in a very practical way. And that's one way to do it. If you've got nocturia, there are medicines that are available that can decrease the amount of urine production at night and allow you to sleep without that sensation of a full bladder, so you have to go wake up and empty your bladder. If you've got sleep apnea, there are ways to treat the sleep apnea that will allow you to continue to breathe all night and not wake up because you're stopping breathing. So the idea is to find what the issue is and to treat it rather than to just gloss it over with a sleeping pill.
Okay, great. Dr. Swick, thank you so much. Anything important, anything else that you want to, that you feel needs to be said?
Well, I think that the most important thing is for the patient to have a discussion with their doctor. And if the doctor doesn't have the answers, then the doctor should refer the patient to a qualified sleep expert. And many, if not most, of these issues can be evaluated, treated with really excellent results.
Great. Dr. Swick, thank you so much. Great talking to you.
Same here. Sleep well, everybody.
Thank you.
Pleasant dreams.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Right. Take care.